Hello and welcome to Everything to Guppy, the podcast where we talk about every single item, every single enemy, every single everything in The Binding of Isaac. Wow, everything. Mm-hmm. I'm William Hughes, and I'm joined, as always, by a real full metal pessimist, Gary Butterfield.
Mm-hmm.
You're more of an optimist than a pessimist.
Go on. What else am I?
You're just that one thing. You're just an optimist. You're an eternal optimist, okay. I find, Gary. I find you have a certain layer of positivity about you that mm-hmm. I try not to let bother me.
Do you think that I have a layer of positivity, or do you think that your layer of negativity is just so strong that my generally moderate view on that seems very positive?
So, Gary, from within the place where I am drowning, I cannot tell the difference between air and pudding.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on. I'm the Azrael of podcasting this week because I broke my back.
Oh, from Undertale?
Yeah. Yeah, my favorite game, Undertale.
I played a bunch of Deltarune last night. I'm finally getting through Deltarune 3 and 4, so.
It's got a sheep in it of some kind.
He's like a goat. They're goats. They're goats mostly.
There's a dog. That's a real meme-y. There's like a meme dog.
There is a meme dog. That the dog represents the developer.
Develops the memes. Yeah. Represents the memes.
Yeah. So when was the last time you thought about Undertale, Gary?
Anytime you bring it up, basically.
Okay.
Most of my life is blissfully unaware of Undertale. I left that in like Check It Out Comrade 2013 or whatever. Only if it gets brought up, either on here or sometimes it comes up on like a dispatch.
You've never waffed Undertale?
No. I don't know. I don't like Undertale. Like, I think it's a bad game. Like,
but I understand you have your process. From my outsider point of view, that doesn't seem like it would stop you from waffing it.
It does, though. The process is, we don't walk into bad things on purpose.
Okay.
Sometimes,
even if they're interesting things that are like...
I don't think it's that interesting. But like, the other thing is, not if we know we're not going to like it. So we get ambushed by stuff like that, but we don't... I'm going to dislike this, Ari dislike it. Or if Kate Ari dislikes it, we don't tend to do it.
Oh, interesting.
Be awkward and Kate likes it. You know, it would just be a lot of us kind of going back and forth, me being like, I think this doesn't work. And Kate being like, I think this does work. You know, there's just not like a whole lot of space there.
Isn't that just criticism?
Sure. But I already did my piece on Undertale.
When?
On Check It Out Comrade, like 2013.
I love Nick to death. I wish that show was still happening. But Gary, if you put a gun to my head right now and asked me to listen to an episode of Check It Out Comrade, I wouldn't know how to do it.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I wouldn't know how to do it either. I don't know. I think, you know, I'm not trying to get into the whole thing.
Yeah.
I just have never found Undertale's tricks particularly interesting. Like, I don't think what it does is that cool. And I find the writing really cloying. And I don't like the mechanics of it. Like, I don't like the weird inertialist bullet hell parts. Like, there's really nothing for me there.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the jokes are okay. But, yeah, I don't think it's worthy, really. I don't want to push myself through it.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Not my circus, not my monkey. You know, it'd be like a really good sports game. Like, it might be interesting. You might do interesting things in the sports game, but I just don't want to play it. It's not my thing.
Yeah. I mean, you are talking to a person who deliberately wrote a four piece special series on Madden because I don't like Madden. So it's a very different approach. Because my whole approach to like criticism is like, how do I figure out how to be the person who likes this?
Yes.
It's a fascinating and slightly alien approach to hear from another critic who I respect a lot.
You and I have very different approaches to criticism.
Good and bad. Hey! Yeah. And the listener can decide which is which. Put it in the Patreon comment.
Put it in exit interviews, but then resub, so I won't read them.
Oh, okay. You don't read the exit interviews from the resubs?
I don't read the exit interviews generally. Every once in a while, I'll throw them on if I feel like self-harm.
I should remember. I have access to the Patreon now that you unfortunately gave me so I could post the show on Patreon. I could go read those.
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them just say money's tight.
Yeah. So, no.
But
I'll probably skim those. Those aren't the ones I'm looking for.
Well, they're not writing anything. It's one sentence. It's just like the drop down. But then there's one out of 20 where they say something mean. You know?
Yeah.
Those are rough.
They won't be saying mean stuff about me.
Some of them do.
Yeah.
Like, you think that, but no. I don't know.
I'm assuming that was a joke. Has anyone ever cited me as the reason they're unsubscribing?
No, I don't think so. We got a mean comment about you on, what was it? It might have been one of the Sonic episodes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was a mean comment.
Did you defend me?
I think I did, if I recall.
What did you say?
Well, do you want to hear the mean comment? It sets up the context.
Doesn't seem necessary.
It is to set up the context.
I think I can just hear you defending me without needing the context.
He's my friend, and you don't know anything about our relationship.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't need context for that.
It was how do I put up with you? The thing.
Okay. But I did ask several times not to be told.
I know, but I get to say what I want on my show. I wanted the audience to know.
Yeah, of course. Of course. This is all for the audience. This is Everything to Guppy, where we do everything for the audience.
Yeah. The criticism approach is interesting. Like, I've thought about how do I contort myself to like this? Mm-hmm. I think that generally what I will do is I will think, not how do I contort myself, but what would be a person who would like this? Like, I do like to think about that. You know, who is this for?
Yeah.
But I don't have any interest in being anyone who isn't me. And I think that might be the difference.
Yeah. And sometimes you don't like the person you end up making up.
Yeah. Oftentimes, I'd say.
Yeah.
Like, if this person's going to like this, they're, that doesn't seem like my kind of guy.
Yeah.
You know? Or gal. Or them.
Gary, thank you so much for being... Thank you for your inclusive language.
And I try.
Inclusive heart.
Thank you. I do have an inclusive heart. No, I don't see colors. I don't see genders.
I mean, you literally
don't see friends and enemies. No.
You literally don't see colors, which is, in some ways, you're biologically more inclusive.
I do see them. I can't tell the difference between them.
And I can't tell the difference between those two sentences. So we're both coming at this with some problems.
It's complicated.
Gary, it's complicated. Monster Blitz.
Of course, it's Monster Blitz. I can't wait for Room Blitz.
Room Blitz is going to be really good, where we go through every room arrangement and talk about whether it's got bullshit that'll auto-hit you.
And they keep adding more.
Why? Like, there's enough. The game's big enough.
Yeah, there are like thousands and thousands of them. In Greed Mode, I never see them, but every once in a while, I'll do a regular run, and I'm like, what the fuck is this room?
What is this shit? Why isn't this a big two-screen room that sometimes has fires in it that I have to kill so I don't walk into them?
Yeah. Why is this a weird little timing puzzle with spikes?
Gary, to get around to a button while turrets fire at you? That you only do Greed Mode?
What is it in me?
Weak in you.
Oh, I like drafting.
Okay.
I think drafting is a fun mechanic. I want to make choices of between multiple items to craft something.
You and the U.S. military.
I know. I was thinking about drafting you into the duck feed military.
Oh, in what position?
Probably grunt.
Well, wouldn't you want to use my powerful tactical mind?
I was thinking about using your powerful tactical body instead.
Okay. Who are we fighting?
Max Fun.
Okay, yeah. You. There was a moment at Friendsgiving where I did genuinely whisper something about Max Fun to avoid the Gary Butterfield knee-jerk reaction to Max Fun being brought up. So that tracks.
You got to pass me. That was a successful whisper.
Well, retroactively unsuccessful now.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't have said Max Fun sucks just of you mentioning Max Fun. That's not my knee jerk.
there would have been there. It would have been an added layer of emotional navigation between me and making my little comment.
What was your comment? Let me figure out what I would have done.
I don't remember it well enough. It was something about their funding model, which I find less offensive than a lot of people do.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't have. I don't think I would have said anything about that.
I will never know, man. It was a heightened room, you know? There was a lot of crosstalk going on. It was a lot of like really heady political shit happening. A couple stabbings. It was
a real Algonquin round table.
Except, did the Algonquin round table have a kids table that me and my wife and Nick and his wife had to sit at?
I'll have to go back in time and ask Dorothy Parker.
Oh, she's going to say something so witty about
how she's going to, I know she's going to have a bonmo
mustache.
Yeah, I know. It might be the style at the time. I might be, go back in time and cause a Back to the Future-esque paradox by becoming my own grandfather, but with Dorothy Parker.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
Hey, I guess it's not cheating if it's time travel.
Yeah, because it maybe didn't happen. Or it happened so long ago, like, you would have had to have forgiven it.
Your personal timeline, it was yesterday.
Yeah, but in real life, it was like the 1920s.
Yeah.
That's quite a while ago.
Can't get mad at anybody about anything they did in the 1920s.
No, the 1920s was blameless. It's the most blameless decade since the 40s.
What happened in the 40s?
Unclear.
Yeah. The debate rages.
Yes. It was a time of heightened conversation. There were tensions were high.
Yeah. So Gary, we're recording this before Duckstream, but this is coming out the week after Duckstream. Do you think you and I are currently talking?
We currently like not speaking to each other after Duckstream, you're going on vacation.
True, but we'll like in the natural course of events, you and I as human friends will communicate via our telephones. Sometimes.
Yes.
I meant in the emotional sense. Yeah, in the that, not
yeah, I was just clarifying.
Yeah,
I thought you meant whether we talking at this exact moment.
Mm-hmm.
I think so. We have historically.
Yeah. Yeah, but historically, I'm crazier now than I've ever been before, though.
That's true. And Nick stuck an entire Undertale block on there just to have us fight.
Yeah, Nick's we always talk about how nice and sweet Nick is, but he's actually bad.
He's making us fight to see which one gets him.
Can I tell you, that really gets me going.
I know it's sincerely, he is the brass ring.
It's so flattering.
When people say eyes on the prize, they're really just saying, you know, eyes on the Nick, because we all want it.
We all want it. You know? Oh my God.
Feather in your cap.
I think
we're probably still talking.
Yeah, okay.
In a general sense, after Duckstream, I need a break from everybody who's at Duckstream.
Sure.
Including you. I don't want to talk to anybody who I did Duckstream with for like a couple days, but then after that it wears off.
So when you defended me, it was just about how you were my friend and not about how great I am.
It wasn't about how great you are. It was you don't know the context for what you're criticizing, so maybe don't be parasocial and weird. I do not need defending. In the context that you don't understand, everything is actually fine. Good evening. Okay.
But you didn't manage to work in a like, and also what Will's doing is very funny.
No.
Okay.
No. Right. They weren't saying you weren't funny, though, to be fair.
Oh, okay, great. Whew. Oh, they were just saying I was a bad friend.
It's really subjective. How could I tolerate you? That could mean anything. You could be loud. You could be hot. You could be sweaty. You know?
Yeah. And hot and sweaty in multiple senses of both words.
Allergen? Allergen,
I can
Will?
Mean allergen, yeah.
Yeah. Algernon, Will?
Like the flowers?
You know? Yeah. That's hard to tolerate.
Menelaus!
What was that?
That was a stupid reference. That was a... So partially, a moth just crawled on my screen, so I got distracted by that. But that was a reference to the TV show Frisky Dingo, the weird Adult Swim cartoon that the Archer that between C-Lab 2021 and Archer.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen that show. I remember seeing bumpers for it and stuff, though. I'm familiar.
I've watched all the way through that show like 30 times. It used to be like my go-to like comfort watch.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an argument where someone brings up flowers for someone's trying to get other people to talk about flowers for Algernon, and they keep getting it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Quoting both Harrison Bergeron, and then someone goes, "Brother of Menelaus," which is Agamemnon. And now I'm just telling you about a joke from a TV show I like.
Yeah, no, and I can tolerate it.
Yeah. Wow.
Look at me tolerate it. See me do it.
Gary,
I like hearing about that. I like Adult Swim shit. I bet you I would like that show. I just never got around to it.
I tried to show it to my wife, but there's an incident of comic violence in the first episode that really turned her off. And then I was like, perhaps this was not as funny as I thought. Or
is it Kathy drowning Garfield?
It is Kathy kissing Garfield.
Okay.
And then drowning him in a tender act of mercy because Garfield has been paralyzed in the boxing ring.
Okay. So it's comic psychosexual violence. There's an element of love to this violence.
No, it's paternal. It's paternal. It's paternal.
Maternal? Okay. Maternal. Million Dollar Garfield. It's returnal. It's paternal. Returnal to paternal. The
Man, they're coming out with another Returnal. I'm so fucking jazzed.
If you put Garfield in a bag and put that bag in a river, do you think Garfield can...
Breaking Bad episodes?
Nope. The Garfield's in the bag and the bag's in the river. I don't think Garfield could die in a way that matters. I feel like he would turn to the camera and talk and it would just kind of work out in some way. He's got like a protean unreality to him.
So famously, there's the spooky Garfield comic.
Yes, where he's all alone in the world. He doesn't die, though. He's like the last living creature.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like Hulk.
Yes. He's the maestro. The, the Garfield version of the maestro.
That's a really good thing to imagine, man. Thank you.
It's a powerful idea.
Yeah.
If people aren't aware,
Maestro is the future evil version of Hulk, who you can tell he's older and evil because he has a beard.
Big evil beard, and he's bald.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hulk has male pattern baldness and has like big bald spot and then back hair and then like a big evil beard.
Mm-hmm.
And he sits on a throne made of like Captain America's stuff.
He looks a lot like me right up until that part with the throne.
You don't have a big wizard beard yet.
It varies.
Yeah. I would love to see you with a big wizard beard.
I mean, pay me enough, you know?
I guess that's true.
I'm very food driven, you know,
mm-hmm.
In cat terms. If you offer me enough money, I'll do whatever with my appearance.
Enough treats?
Yeah. Money is the treats, though.
Oh. Are you going to buy treats with it?
Somewhat.
Okay.
I'll buy Wagyu beef with it.
Okay. The ultimate treat.
I've never had Wagyu beef, Gary. It is the ultimate treat. It looks so, when they cook it, it looks so tender.
I thought that delivery was really cute.
It was.
Yeah, I'll buy Wagyu beef with it. I found that very charming. You know what? I'm going to go back to that Patreon comment and say you're good.
Oh, that's all I'm really looking for. I'm really trying to just get a little upgrade in your assessment of me.
I found that very cute.
Oh, Gary, it's a Monster Blitz where we're talking about every single monster. Obviously, I made a Full Metal Alchemist reference 20 minutes ago because we're talking about Homunculus.
Yes. I probably would have referenced the They Might Be Giants song if it were me.
Yeah. We're really tracing all the ways you and I are not the same person today.
Yeah. We're debunking the conspiracy theory that this is still just a continuation of Dead Idea Valhalla.
Mm-hmm.
And that I have conjured you.
Yeah, I definitely have listened to Dead Idea Valhalla, so I got that.
Yeah. I don't even know how you'd find that. This guy is stuck to the wall. This is our first stuck to the wall monster.
Yeah. So put that on your bingo board.
Mm-hmm. You've been waiting for it, stuck to the wall heads. Yeah, he's got a little umbilical cord that ties him to the wall. It is hard to describe what this guy looks like. He's got a weird face. His eyes in the wrong place. He's got lips.
It's kind of generally birth defect-y.
I would say so. It's kind of like the Harlequin baby.
A little bit. He's got like veins and stuff, or cracks possibly.
Yeah. One eye touching his lips. Mm-hmm. And then one eye where you're like above where your temple would be.
The lips are also luscious.
Big lips. And three perfect teeth. Just tops. My favorite website. And he starts off with little ball umbilical cords tying him to the wall. Eventually he gets free. He can't move very much, but eventually he'll detach. He spawns a little blood pool behind him. He throws six projectiles at you while chasing you and leaves a little blood pool like a trail of it.
But you'll never see it because you killed him before he got off the wall.
Yes. He is a priority. He is an accessory to the Mr. Fred fight.
Yeah. Go check out a great episode.
There's a really good sentence here in the wiki. The homunculi encountered in the Mr. Fred boss fight can only detach under Mr. Fred's command, not at free will.
Yeah. Everything else in this game is using its free will to attack you.
Yeah. It's a strangely existential line for the Binding of Isaac wiki. You know? Does a mega fatty have free will? We'll never know. Because the wiki hasn't told us.
Sorry, I got distracted thinking about something when I started talking about luscious lips. Can I be vulnerable with you, Gary?
Yes.
When I was in high school, I was not good at dating, but I was also not ever good at picking up on any signals from anyone, ever. Mm-hmm. And there was a time when a girl who was in my class, whose name I will not mention because I believe she is now a prominent lawyer for the ACLU. She did tell me like that she thought I had like, you know, very kind of kissable lips. And I thought, oh, that's nice of her to say.
Yeah.
No further.
No further action. Yeah.
And this is a girl who I starred in the school play with and where I was supposed to kiss her.
Oh, and this is, the one where you didn't kiss.
Yeah.
You told that story before, but you didn't tell me the kissable lips part of it.
Yeah. Those were two separate instances, and I still didn't really manage to put any of that together as a possible avenue. I was an impressive specimen in high school. It's wild that I dated at all.
I find that relatable. Like, I feel like it took me a long time to even think of the idea that there was a such thing as a signal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not good with coding in general. Like, I tend to like overt communication.
Which makes your friendship with me fascinating, but...
Yes, because all the coding I ignore. I just take the things you say.
Yeah.
Face value. There's tons of coding going on, but I'm just missing it. You know?
You would.
But yeah, I never had signals that strong that I turned down, but I relate to the impulse or relate to the lack of impulse. Somebody's done that. I went on a date in my late teens, just after high school, where a woman after the date put her arms around my neck and like looked me in the eyes.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, good night.
She was trying to choke you out.
It was from behind.
Did she say something along the lines of, and now it's time to sleep? I don't have a good 47.
She said, my favorite part of the night is good night after the date.
See, your 47 is so much better than mine.
Oh, thanks. And I was just like, okay, hug, I'll talk to you later. Gonna go home and masturbate and think about this. Blippy blop, squirty squirt, like not even thinking about the, you know, opportunity. And then later, like years later, I was like, fuck, that woman ended up marrying a guy from high school and has a million kids. And I think if that probably relationship would not have gone anywhere because I am not a kids person. I do not do the kids bop.
I mean, you might not have had a choice.
That's true. That is true. At that age, where was I with birth control at that age?
Great question, Gary. Glad you brought it up.
Yeah. I've never liked the stuff.
No?
No, I like the
kinda
result not, of it.
Kind of an anti-feminist position. Interesting.
I got a vasectomy. That's the ultimate feminist birth control.
Okay, great. So it seems like you've come around on it.
I've grown. I've grown quite a bit. I was not cool as a young man. I sucked. I think that I would have worn the condom provided she was not on any kind of pill. And I wouldn't have said anything about it, but I also wouldn't have been happy about it.
Should we role play that?
Sure.
All right.
Let me set the scene for you.
Please.
We just got back from a date that I invited you to. Uh-huh. To go see They Might Be Giants.
Great.
At Otto's, the venue that they tore down due to intense structural damage. So when you dance on the floor, it felt like it was going to give.
Mm-hmm.
Scary ass venue.
Yeah.
You don't like that band.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you Gary, don't. Went, you don't, I was already. That was already going to be in the improv, I assure you.
Yeah. No, I'm just. Yeah. And you're just going because of me. And I spent the entire date telling you like trivia about like songs and stuff. So, like, oh, they've never played this live before. This is really cool. Stuff like that. I walk you home to your house. You invite me in.
Really? After that?
Yes. Yes. And then I want a piece of these lumps. And went in and then we're saying goodnight.
Okay.
You've hugged my neck. And in this scenario, we actually are. I respond because we're going to do the condom role play.
Yeah. I mean, the role play has widened. I'll tell you, my opening gambit isn't going to involve sex.
Yeah. A little bit of that though. Okay. And smooch.
Uh-huh. So, I'm sorry. This is nice. Is the idea that it's Weird Al, but without any overt jokes?
Yeah, it's kind of like Weird Al, but a fewer genre.
Oh my god, you were fucking horny for it, man. You're absolutely immediately betraying your whole thing.
It's like Weird Al, but it's not like doing, you know, a country song and stuff like that. Like, it stays mostly within the same genre.
Is Anna Ng racist as a concept? Oh,
not even a little bit.
Okay. That's just geographic. It seemed racist when I heard the song.
Yeah, well, you have to pay attention to the lyrics.
Like an Asian fetishization kind of thing.
Oh, not even a little bit. It's just the idea. Yeah. The song is about how if there's one person in the world for you, there's a good chance they're on the other side of the world.
And what if it's a hot Asian girl?
What if it's just an Asian girl in general? You'll never meet. Because they live on the other side of the world. There's billions of people. It's not about that. It's just Anna Ng would live on the opposite side of New York from the globe.
How many of those songs were meant to be sarcastic? Because it felt like most of them.
I like Rye. Now hush, my sweet. The arm around.
Uh-huh.
A little looser. Relaxing my thoughts about how you don't understand that maybe they might be giants.
Yeah.
Putting that aside and thinking about horniness. Leaning in slowly so I can, you know, cause make sure that everything's good and gravy.
No glove, no love.
No glove, no love. That's okay. I got one in my wallet.
I
can get it out if you want.
I've seen too many things where the wallet condom has become damaged or it's too old or some other comic mishap.
Do you have any here?
I'm not a slut.
Well, come to my house. I've got some in my drawer.
I have always been told not to go to a third location on a date.
Well, that's okay. I can, we can just make out for a little bit.
No, I actually find kissing like a big waste of time.
Okay. What if I just went down on you?
You don't look like you'd be good at it.
See, now that's where you're wrong. Okay. I'm enthusiastic and I'm willing to learn.
But I'm not willing to teach. So this has been nice. Thank you for bringing me to Ween. Good night.
Oh, good night. Now that did violate the spirit of what we were trying to improv in the premise.
Sometimes,
despite all of the things you said, this woman was pretty into me.
So there's this concept called playing to the top of your intelligence, where you have to follow the naturally emotionally like resonant ideas. Like I had a feeling that I was deeply repulsed by you as the character, and I had to follow that feeling.
This is a genuine improv question.
Sure.
Even in the scenario where the setup was, this person wants me despite all these red flags. Like, that's literally the premise. Sure. It's good improv to be like, no, that's not the premise.
Depends. Most improv scenes don't have a premise laid out before you do them. Sometimes they do if you're doing a storytelling show. But even then, honestly, as soon as you introduce the fact that you drag this poor woman to a They Might Be Giants show, the premise changed in my head.
Yes. Without letting me know.
Sure.
That the premise changed. That feels like bad improv to me, but I don't know. I've never studied.
You don't.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm here to learn. I'm enthusiastic. Yeah. I'm willing to learn. If you're willing to teach.
And Gary, I absolutely am. I'll give you all the time you need to figure out whatever the fuck you're doing down there.
Appreciate. And also, I guess in this scenario, no, I guess I was following my emotional truth.
We were both following our emotional truths. Would you like to go back into it and I could be more excited about you having sex with me?
I feel like what we did there, I think that the thing I'm struggling to understand the concept is that if we both follow our highest intelligence and follow our emotional truths,
mm-hmm.
we're just role-playing what if you and I wanted to have sex with each other? Because your revulsion at all the things I was saying was real.
Yeah. But also hers, like she didn't like They Might Be Giants, right?
I mean, I don't think she had a bad time there. She wasn't into the band before she went.
Okay. Oh, you didn't say that.
Well, she might have had a bad time. I don't know. A lot of this information I'm judging based on the fact that she threw herself at me after the show.
Yeah.
So I'm making some assumptions about her having a good enough time.
It was hard for me to get into that emotional space.
Yeah, I understand.
Because I've heard some Ween songs and they didn't really get me going.
Oh yeah, Ween's awful. I understand it's a challenging character, this person.
Yeah. Now I'm just thinking about all the different bands to play my lover. Sorry. What? Go ahead, Gary.
We get Daniel Day-Lewis to play my lover in this scenario.
You'd have to have sex with him.
Yeah. I'd drink his milkshake. Be fucking awesome.
Yeah. And then later, gotta tell you, Tarantino, not a big fan of your performance.
Yeah, I know. And he beats my head in with a bowling pin.
That too. Fuck.
Yeah.
I'm distracted thinking about what are the ranking all the bands that have that play accordion sometimes.
Ween doesn't play accordion.
Excuse me, you're forgetting the It's Pat movie.
Oh yeah. Well, that's Pat.
Where Pat plays accordion with Ween.
That's true. I'm always forgetting the It's Pat movie. How weird is that Quentin Tarantino thing?
I've written about it several times. I shouldn't have brought it up because it's like 3 weeks ago now because we're releasing this so late.
Yeah. Why does that mean you shouldn't bring it up?
Because it's not timely or relevant.
Well, it's relevant because we were talking about Paul Dano, and what is timely in a podcast? We're recording this like way before it even comes out. Nothing we say is going to be timely.
But Gary, you being rejected by a woman because you brought her to a They Might Be Giants. That's what we call evergreen content.
I think that this is evergreen content too. I think timely is really overrated.
I know this you is, do, this, man. It's another way we're different.
It's another way we're very different. I think your job influences that.
Okay, a month ago, Quentin Tarantino talked some shit. You forgot about it, so we're reminding you.
There was a thing on your website recently about it, like an update.
What does recently mean?
A couple days ago.
For you, not for the listener, the people receiving the product.
I think that this is still, I don't think it's in the news cycle, but okay, let's talk about the news cycle then.
Let's talk about the fucking news cycle.
Let's get into it. What kind of bombings have been happening?
This podcast?
Oh,
that improv true. Scene?
That was a bomb. No, I think it's real weird for him to just be like, that guy's got a limp dick. Like, yeah, what a no, piece of shit performance. It's super fucking weird.
It was super fucking weird when he did that back in November.
Yeah. Weird. It's only December 8th. November was near.
It's December 15th.
As of the time of recording.
I understand that, but I can't make that emotionally resonate for the people actually listening to it, receiving the product.
If you're listening to this, vote. Tell me if you still think it is interesting that Quentin Tarantino called Paul Dano a limp dick.
The limpest dick in the world.
The limpest dick in the world. Yeah. Or if you think that's old news and you would rather have us talk about entertainment news that is fresh in Will's mind.
I don't want to talk about any entertainment news.
Just, you know, I'm asking the listener to vote. Like, do we talk about fresh news?
Vote with your fucking dollars.
Yeah. Guppy Bump, if you want either of them. Or not.
Buppy Gump, or, did I say Buppy Gump? Buppy Gump.
You did. You said the Buppy Gump Shrimp Company.
It's weird that they made a restaurant out of that, right?
I think it's really weird. Because the restaurant didn't sound good.
I ate there once, and it was fine. Mm-hmm. It was bad Red Lobster.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like, I like shrimp. Not even against shrimp, but I'm just like, yeah, mostly shrimp. Shrimp a bunch of different ways that we can list. No. Dr. Peppers.
What?
Doesn't Forrest Gump love Dr. Pepper?
It's possible he does. It's a delicious soda with 23 mysterious flavors inside it.
If I remember, that's his like signature soda during that movie. I haven't seen Forrest Gump in a long time.
It might be what he asks for at the White House, possibly.
Where he has to pee. Yeah.
Yeah. Of course, in the sequel novel, Forrest Gump invents New Coke.
Yeah. He's always getting into rascally situations that don't quite work out, but they somehow do.
Time left on. I'm sorry to interrupt. Did you have more to say? Was what you were saying about Forrest Gump heading somewhere?
No.
Yeah. I do apologize for interrupting, but I did have a thought.
Okay.
And that's usually when I interrupt.
That's true.
Do you think we could figure out the 23 flavors in Dr. Pepper in the rest of this episode by the time this episode's done?
Not 23. I feel confident that I could get like 10 of those flavors because I like Dr. Pepper. I drink Dr. Sure. Pepper. I drink Dr. Pepper zero sugar. And I can clock several flavors in it, but not 23. That's fucking nuts.
That's what they claim is in it.
I know. The
Dr. Pepper flavors list. Dr. Pepper's core is a blend of 23 secret flavors, and then they do give us some of the flavors suggested. This is the AI overview, though, so let's...
Yeah. 40% chance of being wrong.
Yeah, here we go. 1 year ago on the Dr. Pepper subreddit, r/Dr. Pepper, can anyone name the 23 flavors? Someone's put down all of their thoughts on the 23.
All 23? That's crazy. Link me that. I want to see what they...
It's an archived post. New comments cannot be posted and votes cannot be cast.
Yeah, send it my way.
This is just someone's opinion from O'Byerly.
I just want to see what somebody's opinion on this thing that they can't even begin to name 23.
I mean, I was looking at it and some of them were the ones I was thinking about. So this does track, I think. So we're going to go through these one by one. So if people don't know, Dr. Pepper, because we do have international listeners.
It's true.
Dr. Pepper is a soda. You can probably get it in your country. Mm-hmm. That tastes like medicine, but in a good way.
Yes. It's the most popular soda that kind of tastes like an old-timey soda.
Yeah.
You know, like there's Moxie and shit like that, but that stuff's poison. Like this tastes a little bit like an old-timey soda, but it actually tastes good. It's sweeter than that.
Okay. Cola. Yes, absolutely.
Yep. Absolutely. Right.
Cherry would have been the first one I said.
Same. Dominant flavor.
Licorice. Yeah, I think so.
I can see it, but I would not have guessed it.
Amaretto? I was going to say amaretto.
I think it's crazy that they have amaretto and the next one is almond.
That is weird, right?
Yeah, they're cheating a little bit.
Like amaretto and almond extract are roughly the same thing.
Next one is vanilla, which would have been my second flavor.
Sure, it does have that like, kind of sweet note in it, yeah.
Yeah, like a vanilla cherry cola is kind of what I think of it as. Blackberry. Yeah,
I guess it's got, because there are fruit notes in the soda.
Yeah, there's a little bit of fruit notes. Maybe not as many fruits as this list. Fuck.
If you ask me to tell you what an apricot's next. If you ask me to tell you what an apricot fucking tasted like, couldn't tell you.
I could. I don't taste it in Dr. Pepper, though.
Describe apricot to me, Gary.
Well, I guess now I have to own up to the fact that I've only had dried apricot.
You can describe that to me.
It's sweet.
That is.
It's adjacent to citrus without quite being citrus. Okay. Like it has that kind of like a little bit of tartness to it. It's like a high pitched taste.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'd like more.
It's pretty good. Boy. Yeah, it's hard to describe a flavor without just naming things.
I'm really enjoying listening to you try, though.
I think that might be all I got on that.
You can give me one more descriptor. Okay.
I already said sour. Fuck. And I can't go texture.
No.
Well, when I have it, when it's dried, it is very dry. It kind of dries out your mouth a little bit. Yeah. It's got a very dry taste.
Yeah. Gary, I do have some theories about why that might be, but as the outsider here, it's really not my place to say.
We got to get you some fruit.
Yeah. Caramel. Yeah.
I can see it. No.
Pepper.
I don't really taste pepper in Dr. Pepper.
Do you think if it wasn't called Dr. Pepper, they would have put pepper on this list?
Yeah, I don't think so. And then we get another cheat. Because they put
anise. Now, anise and licorice are not exactly the same flavor.
They're pretty similar.
They are similar.
Like, blended into a soda?
Yeah, I mean, I think with your, you know, when you're claiming 23 different flavors, I think you're going to get some overlap.
That's true. But then they also have, the next one says sarsaparilla, but then later they have birch, which are also pretty similar flavors.
Yeah. I don't taste ginger in Dr. Pepper.
I don't taste ginger either. I do taste a little bit of sarsaparilla. I don't taste ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Molasses, I can see it.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon? I don't know.
I think we can run through these three together. Lemon, plum, and orange.
I taste a little bit of orange.
Okay. I taste the plum, actually.
I can taste a little bit of plum as well. I can't really taste lemon.
Lemon. It's kind of like how,
Dr. Pepper is sour.
It's kind of like how, like, cola gummies are kind of lemon gummies, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Next one, nutmeg. Nutmeg, I do. What'd you call it?
Numtag.
Numtag, I can taste in the numtag.
Now, that's just your... are you still watching your little soldier boy?
Yeah.
What's the last thing that your Townsend did that you watched?
Something called a hasty pudding.
Okay.
And then a fine hasty pudding.
What was the difference?
One of them, you kind of make like a miniature pasta for it. Okay. And the other one's just kind of cornmeal. It looks good.
Is the idea, does he live like he's a revolutionary soldier boy?
I don't think so. He cosplays as it a lot.
Does he own a phone? And he does like
Say what?
Does he own a phone, do you think?
Yeah. He's got a whole business. Like, it is a company. Okay. I was disappointed. I thought it was like a compound I could visit, but that's not the case.
I mean, you can visit anywhere, man.
I can visit it, but there's like a gift shop that's open half the year. Like, it wouldn't be worth it.
Okay.
I wanted to like hang out and see him do like dip candles and shit.
You kind of want a one-man Colonial Williamsburg kind of thing.
I want a personalized experience with him and his weird little lackeys that he dresses up as soldier boys and goes and like looks stoic in the woods. Yeah. Or like,
you're telling me he doesn't have a Patreon tier where you can do that?
No, he doesn't. But you know, name me one thing that can't be bought. I suppose I could save up for it.
He's a fucking influencer. absolutely you can buy him.
He's a, every YouTuber is pretty buyable.
Yeah.
You know, I could even spend a bunch of money to get Ninja to go do that.
That would be a lot of money.
That would be a lot of money. It'd be double threat. Two equally important video presences.
That's why you've got integrity, Gary, because I don't think you can be bought except for the ways you've laid out that you can be bought.
But if I already don't like the thing, we don't do it.
Yeah.
So I can be bought to a point.
Yeah.
Having capitalism makes us all horrible.
Were you going to say the sex worker thing, but or then changed it to horrible?
No, I wasn't sure where I was going to end with it though.
Yeah.
So to be fair, there was a stink of improv in that sentence, but I was not going to say capitalism makes us all a horror. It doesn't seem like something I'd say.
What did I say earlier that I didn't like? Oh, I didn't like when in the improv thing I said I'm not a slut.
Yeah. There's certain words even when you're saying that would have been period appropriate. Sure. It just feels bad coming out of the mouth. Yeah.
That's the one mistake I made in that improv. That was the one bad improv I did.
I am a slut.
No, I should have just said I don't go that way or whatever.
Yeah, not easy.
Yeah.
Yeah, not that kind of girl.
I didn't want to sex shame her.
Yeah. I mean, at the time, though, it would have been period appropriate.
I know.
Like, that was the style at the time, my early 20s. Allspice?
We skip cardamom.
Cardamom? I definitely taste cardamom.
Which they misspelled there.
Yeah, cardamom. Cardamom. Gotta play them all. Allspice? I'm hurrying here because we're getting near the end of the episode.
I mean, episode Allspice? Ends when we say.
Episode set ends when I say. I can hang up at any time.
Allspice absolutely is in there. Although Allspice does taste a lot. I think Allspice has anise in it.
Yeah.
That's the very least kind of has star anise in it, I think.
A little bit of a cheat.
Or am I thinking of five spice?
That's a good question. I don't know. Like Allspice and five spice. That
seems
okay,
like I am confusing the two. Allspice, also known as Jamaica pepper, myrtle pepper, pimenta, or pimento, is the dried, unripe berry of Pimenta deosia, a mid-canopy tree native to the Greater Antilles, southern Mexico, and Central America, now cultivated in many warm parts of the world. Thanks,
I hate
Wikipedia.
That that's called allspice. Why would you call it allspice? That
it tastes
has
like
a
all
clear
spices.
Meaning. It doesn't.
It tastes like every spice there could be.
It doesn't.
I was right that five spice powder has star anise
along
with fennel, cloves, Chinese cinnamon, and Sichuan pepper.
Oh, nice. Coriander?
Sure.
Maybe. Yeah, a little bit.
We're at a point where I couldn't exactly tell you what these flavors are, except maybe birch.
Juniper I think of as gin.
Yeah, that's what I mostly think of, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't really taste that in Dr. Pepper. Birch, I can see, because again, it's a little bit like a root beer, sarsaparilla.
Yeah.
And then prickly ash.
What does prickly ash taste like?
Is this man out here eating trees? What is he talking about?
What does prickly ash taste like? They have a strong citrus smell. So we're going back to the citrus. What we call it the toothache tree because the skins. This is a long ass Reddit post. Because the skins make your mouth go numb. Oh, maybe that's where we get like the... Because Dr. Pepper could kind of make you feel like your mouth's going numb a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah, maybe it's the numbing agent. You know, it seems like if you're in the woods with Medicine Man or Lorenzo's Oil or whatever, and Sean Connery sure. tells you to suck on some because you have a toothache.
So, Gary, not only do I not know if those are the right flavors, I don't know that we said 23 of them.
I don't think so.
Looking at that list, count. I couldn't tell you if that's 23. I'd have to count, and it'd be one, two.
My feeling is it's not. Five, six, seven, it's less than four five, lines, and 11, each line has like 13, eight 14, flavors 15, in it.
16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22. It's 20 fucking four.
Perfect.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Fucking Gary, it's goddamn 24.
That's perfect.
It's goddamn 24 flavors.
That's perfect.
That's enraging.
If you like this show,
yep.
tell us what you think Dr. Pepper tastes like.
Please.
At patreon.com/duckfeedtv and leave us ratings and reviews and give us guppy bumps.
Yeah, give us
And money. Thank you for tuning into Duckstream.
We haven't said this in a while. Give us some money.
Give me some money. Currency, please.
Like this review from Hoondog, left on Apple Podcasts. Help! I thought the pivot was supposed to be MTG and was a little bum, but now it's Cutthroat Kitchen, and me and my partner have been binging episodes for 26 hours straight, and I, oh God, what if it's just a bit? How will I know their opinions on DJ Chef or Brian? Ah, and that's 4 stars, a 5-star review.
Thank you, 5 stars.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate that. No ghost.
No ghost.